excellence.
All right. I'm going to call our April 19th meeting to order. The first item of business is approving the minutes from our April 5th meeting. I move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? See none. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
The minutes are approved. Moving down to our next agenda item, we have, it looks like, 5 loans at around a little over almost $520,000. So is there a motion to approve the loan?
I so move.
Second, Doug.
Great. Rich, do you want to talk us through the loans that we're reviewing today?
Sure. Thanks, Sarah. The only one that's a little bit unusual is number one for the city of Burlington. They received a parcel from the county through tax delinquency, I believe. And it's currently a dilapidated building that needs to be demolished for safety purposes. They don't really have a long-term plan yet. They're thinking about a park or a parking lot or some other use. But that one particular purpose is a little bit unusual for us. The other ones are vehicle acquisitions, road work, and a dredging project for a lake district. That's all I have on the loans.
Doug, I'm a little surprised it cost $96,000 to tear down an old house. Wow.
You know, I don't know what it all entails, Doug. It may include taking care of the foundation, filling in the basement. I really don't know, but.
I know, and it's not our job to second guess them. I understand. Very good.
All right. Any questions for Rich about the loan portfolio? All right, see none. All those in favor of approving the loans today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Sarah. Okay. Aye, Doug.
And I think I heard you also approve it, Josh. So the loans are approved unanimously. Great. Moving on, we've got no old business, but our new business is an update on our goals and priorities as we kind of laid out, what was it now, maybe 2 years ago, kind of our goals of investment, land, and also operations. So I'm going to pass it over to Tom because the BCPL just continues to move forward in a really positive direction.
Thank you, Sarah. You know, we all have human tendencies to focus on the task at hand, and sometimes we fail to lift our eyes to see the bigger picture. But returning to our goals and priorities gives us a chance to see how far we've come and how far we have to go. And by any measure, I believe that this fiscal year has been a resounding success so far. We distributed over $40 million to public school libraries, and our Common School Smoothing Fund is on track to be more than fully funded by the end of the fiscal year. But it wouldn't have been possible to achieve that without developing the due diligence protocol for those private fund investments and developing and implementing a plan for diversifying our portfolio into the different asset classes. So achieving those goals and priorities have helped us do what we did this year for the Common School Fund. And developing a group of advisors that we can depend upon to evaluate those investment ideas has also been highly beneficial. I'm greatly appreciative for having Mark Epley and Jason Stevens agree to volunteer to help us. Both of them are very knowledgeable people in different parts of the world of finance. And as I noted in my report, that we appreciate their talents and thankfulness of our expanded team. But we're continuing to look for ways to diversify further and to strengthen our our investment committee team. We're also on track to distribute $1,070,000 from the normal school fund to the UW this year, commencing from that dismal starting point when the normal school fund actually ran perennial deficits for a decade, to now being an annual source for hundreds of UW scholarships and programs. This is a cause of celebration. And our timber revenue for the fiscal year is on track to exceed $930,000 this year. That's not just an all-time record. That's a huge increase over the last 10 years. But it didn't happen by accident. We put the time and the effort and the resources into modernizing our processes for tracking and administering timber contracts. We made a greater effort to publicize our timber sales through every conceivable communication channel. As a result, we had a larger number of bidders than in past years, and every single one of our timber sales actually sold. We listened to our loggers and adjusted some of our procedures to make it easier to harvest during the summer on some of our sites that could accommodate summer logging. But all of those changes combined to produce that record 900,000 plus in timber receipts this year. So again, I look at the goals and priorities as helping us guide us to the results that we've been able to achieve. So the report that I added to today's board packet is pretty self-explanatory, but there were a couple areas that I wanted to dive into a little bit deeper. Yeah, we got to the lands part. You know, the fact is, we're celebrating Earth Day this week, and as public land managers, we have great reasons to celebrate. We own some of the best pristine native lands in Wisconsin. Many have never been privately titled and provide people with a unique place to recreate and enjoy nature in peace. While we harvest trees, we do so in an ecologically responsible manner. We're permanent fund managers. Unlike private equity groups, we don't churn our portfolio every 7 to 10 years. As long as we have land holdings, it makes sense to manage those lands in a way that protects and preserves those lands for future generations of beneficiaries and land stewards. During harvests, we intentionally leave some big trees in place to hopefully provide a good genetic source of seeds to replenish the surrounding area. And we also plant some trees to replenish our stock. For those school trust lands that have special natural area qualities or high conservation values, we have worked hard to sell or exchange those lands to the DNR, the Forest Service, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Park Service, counties and local land trusts that have a conservation mandate. We're proud that our efforts have resulted in more than 15,000 acres of land being conveyed to such groups. This provided us with the funds to purchase a commensurate amount of timberlands to manage for our beneficiaries. We have not only jumped through the hoops of having our organization and processes certified by FSC, but we also worked hard at being good neighbors and good partners to other stakeholders in our landholding areas. We reached out to the tribes soliciting their input regarding upcoming timber sales. We made a greater effort at communicating our upcoming timber sales to loggers. We supervised our loggers to make sure that the timber harvests are conducted in a responsible manner. And we have welcomed people to enjoy outdoor recreation on our lands. Sometimes people forget our lands are not open to the public by statutory edict. They are open to the public because of board policy. We have worked hard to build larger tracts of productive timberland to make it easier to manage. Having 2,000 scattered parcels across the northern part of Wisconsin had left our small staff with an almost impossible management mission. It was hard enough to visit all those parcels, much less manage them. We are not yet halfway done with our land banking process, but it's already evident that we have moved the needle on revenue production and on cost containment. Finally, we are working on developing a request for proposals for selling carbon credits. In accordance with our goals and priorities, we have taken a good, long, honest look at our land portfolio and determined that the highest and best use for some of our lands is, in fact, as carbon offset revenue generation. Developing that plan with enough flexibility to still sell some land and still harvest timber requires a careful and thoughtful approach. We are convinced that there's a path to success which includes that flexibility, and we're looking forward to completing that plan and sharing it with the board. Are there any other comments or the report that I filed or any other thing? Yes, Doug.
I have a couple of questions, not super important. I noticed in your report the phrase transforming some of our unproductive land into revenue producing assets. How does one do that?
There are a couple different ways. The first way is if it is an area that has high conservation value, the way you convert that into a productive asset is you sell that to the DNR, to the Forest Service, to the National Park Service, take the money and invest it. Otherwise, there have been times that we looked at a parcel and thought, well, I don't think that we can cut any timber there because it's maybe not big enough. But after looking at it a little bit more carefully, we realized there were some that we could generate some timber revenue from. And then in some other cases, like I said, we're looking at being able to sell carbon offset credits on lands.
Right, exactly. The one I noticed is you didn't mention the maple syrup. I'm looking forward to receiving some of that from my waffles.
And I'm looking forward to generating that. I'd love to private label that stuff. But that's going to take a little bit longer than we had hoped for. We had engaging with three different groups that were interested in maple syrup production. But none of the three is in a position yet to actually move forward. So we're gearing up toward next year. But because of the fact of the number of maple trees we have and the sizable blocks of maple trees that we have, I think that there may be some good revenue opportunities there.
So have we, Tom, been involved in selling maple syrup previously, or would that be new?
That would be.
So the idea would be to find someone who we would contract with, and they would do it, and then they would get half of the revenue, we get half, or something like that.
Yes. So Josh's
question. Because for us to go into production ourselves would take quite a bit of person power.
Yes, it would take a lot of person power and take a lot of financial power, because you're talking about the taps, you're talking about the tubes, you're talking about the collection.
Yep.
And it's a fairly sizable investment.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's kind of an interesting idea.
It wouldn't be the first time that we've there are more demands coming to the Midwest for maple syrup. I mean, largely, I think it had been more of an Eastern U.S. and Canada thing, but as maple syrup gets more visibility and the prices go up, there are more groups that are looking at the Midwest as a source. So.
Yeah. No, this is silly memory of mine, Tom. Years ago, we looked into growing wild rice, and it didn't work very well. Is that not a good idea anymore?
From what I've seen, commercial wild rice production is not a great business opportunity for us. There are still wild rice.
As I remember, we weren't interested in commercial. We just wanted to get some growing for wildlife and to restore what used to be there, kind of idea.
There are some tribes that are still harvesting wild rice on some of our lands, but it's not something that's that's commonly done, I would say.
Yeah.
And in terms of going through the expense of developing it, we don't have the funds for that. So.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Well, Tom, I just want to, again, I think what's really helpful for the commissioners is how we take a look back and a look forward at the same time when we get this update, as BCPL continues to be a resilient, it's small but mighty organization, between looking at record-breaking distributions under our investment goal, and seeing it both with the Common School Fund and the Normal School Fund, as you talked about with the lands, and how we are not only being good stewards, but we're doing it in a way that is providing noteworthy timber revenue, and also being creative with our unproductive land and thinking through how can we support our beneficiaries, whether it is through carbon credits or through CIRUP. And that really hits at that operation goal that we are doing a lot with a little. So I appreciate everyone and the work that they are doing every day. And this is just a really good way of capturing that and letting the commissioners know. So thank you.
Again, our pleasure.
Any other questions for Tom about his goals and priorities report? Seeing none, we're moving to our land bank transactions. Tom, do you want to maybe just walk through the best way for us to go through these three transaction opportunities?
Yeah, the best way of looking at it is the purchase can simply be described as it's a chance to acquire a productive inholding. We have a large block of land, and this particular purchase is an inholding. Every time that you've got a piece of land inside of all your other land, it's always a good idea that if it's commercially feasible to do it, to acquire it, because it makes it easier to manage the other lands that you have. The sales can both be described as those are lands that are not central to our revenue generation plans for the future. There were nearby landowners that had expressed some interest in it, and so we felt it was worth it to get it appraised and offer it for sale, because it would provide us revenue to be able to go and acquire other lands that would be more productive.
This is Doug. My only comment on the purchase is I haven't purchased any land recently, but $2,200 an acre is very expensive, it seems like. Is that just because land prices have gone up that much?
It's for two reasons. One of them is because of the fact that it does have some decent timber on it, and where it's located, the values of land in that area have gone up. But land prices have not gone up uniformly up north. Some areas have gone up more than others, and it tends to be more of a feature of what's on that land. Is it accessible? Can you put a house on it? Can you recreate on it? Whereas in some other cases, if it's too far, it's too hard to get to, and the prices of some of those lands have not moved that much.
Yep, well, that makes sense. I mean, it's got a lot of good timber on it. And my other question about that purchase is, who owns all that other, I'll call it orange land, in the middle of our land? Is that national forest?
Yes, it is, but that's hopefully land that we are going to be acquiring.
Okay, because right in the middle of that, just a little bit to the east of what we're buying, there's a whole lot of 40s that are all in the middle of our property.
It's a little bit to the west, and if you notice on the legend,
to the west. I'm sorry, to the west.
Yeah. It says E1502 USFS, Forest Service. And so that's our Forest Service exchange. We are down to the point where the Forest Service is dragging their feet on approving the form of our land patents for the exchange.
Okay.
If that's, we're now down to the last piece of crossing T's and dotting I's. So, but thanks for pointing that out, because I will look forward to the day that that transaction closes.
And then right next to that forest land, there's two 40s that have nothing on them. Is that some private ownership in there?
Yes, it is. There are still a couple of private inholdings within that block, and that would be one.
Okay. That's what I thought. I understand. Okay, thank you.
We were offered the opportunity to buy, I believe, one of those. But unfortunately, there was a really nice house on there, and the cost to us would have been pretty significant. And after evaluating it several times, we just couldn't justify it.
Okay.
So.
So, I guess, Tom, if
nobody else has a question, moving on to the sales, those kitty corner 40s are interesting. And do we own all the land around those, or who owns the rest of that giant forest there?
That's all privately owned, which is why we were looking at this as an opportunity to sell it, because.
Okay, that's what I thought, because there's no marks on it. So this is it owned by a big timber company or something?
No, I think they're, if I remember correctly, they were just revocable trusts or people having it in their own names. So, but it was a limited number of owners. It wasn't a whole bunch of different people owning different 40s. It seemed like there were families that owned 200 acres here or 300 acres there. So,
do they manage it for timber production?
I think they manage it more for recreation.
Yeah. All right. Wait, it's a very big piece of land, and we're going to sell them five more 40s in that piece. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, I guess, Tom, because I don't know if we need to do each one individually or if we can make a motion to approve the proposed land bank transitions as described and do it that way.
Well, you could ask for
a point of parliamentary inquiry. Is there, as far as what we how we can get this done, I guess, the most effectively?
I think there could be a motion to approve each of the resolutions as stated. If that motion is approved and seconded, you could call for unanimous consent.
I so move.
Thank you, Josh. I will second that. Great. It has been moved and seconded to approve the proposed land bank transactions as stated. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Sarah. The land bank transaction are approved. Moving down to just our routine. Yes, Doug. Did you have a question?
I just said great.
Okay, me too. Great. Moving down to routine business. Rich with his chief investment officer's report.
Thanks, Sarah. I think I'll reserve my time for the next meeting when I will be presenting the quarterly investment report.
Great.
Unless anybody has any questions.
No. That's great, Rich. Thank you. Tom.
Just a couple things. Recently I had a chance to talk to the Wisconsin Lakes Group, to talk talked to the treasurer at the Wisconsin Lakes Group about using our loan program to borrow for their lakes projects. As you saw on today's agenda, we had one of those loans. But we've gotten a number of other calls. It's always interesting because those loans are a little bit different. So it's nice to be able to reach out to a different group in person as the pandemic wanes a little bit. And I will be going up to the Municipal Treasurers of Wisconsin up in La Crosse next week to hopefully, again, reestablish connections with a group that we haven't had a chance to talk to for a while. And that's my report.
Great. Any questions for Tom? Thanks. Thank you, Tom. And I'm going to keep it short. We did another kind of check presentation just last week. We went to Woolworth, to Whitewater, and they are actually a blue ribbon school, and did kind of met with their community leaders and talked about the impact that the $80,000 was going to have on their school district. And so it was a really good opportunity and educational moment. DPI, in partnership with kind of BCPL and all of us, we did recently finish our video on what the Common School Fund is and how it supports public schools. That's now, thank you, Tom and Mike, posted to the BCPL website as well as DPI's website. But we are continuing, I think, to shine a light on the value that BCPL and the Common School Fund have on the state of Wisconsin. That's all from my report. Are there any future agenda items? Seeing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So move. I second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adjourning today, say aye. Aye, Sarah.
Aye, Josh.
Great. Have a good week, everybody. Our meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.